papers or not?
New papers. We're on Perek Bet now of Masechet Moed Katan. So just to refresh our memories a little bit, we've been talking about different melachot, different acts of labor or work that are permitted and forbidden to do on Chol HaMoed.
Like a kollel atmosphere.
Yeah, has a feel to it. The next few Mishnayot are gonna.
Nobody wants to adopt me. I don't know. I don't want to be adopted. How do I get adopted to this program?
The next few Mishnayot are gonna talk about different actions, but in the context of what we call Davar HaAved. Davar HaAved means that if a person was not going to do a particular labor, which by active standards the rabbis might say not to do, but now he's in a situation where if he doesn't do it, he'll incur a significant financial loss. And so the rabbis might make a bit of a leeway for the person to do something that ordinarily he wouldn't be able to do, but because he's in a situation where he's going to incur financial loss, significant, the rabbis are going to allow him to do
it.
Is
this on a holiday or anything?
This is on Chol HaMoed.
Always
Chol HaMoed, unless otherwise specified. Okay. So let's take a look at a few of the examples. Mishnah Aleph and Mishnah Bet are going to be almost identical and similar opinions that we're going to see in these Mishnayot. Misha hafach et zetav, somebody who was flipping his olives, ve'ir'o evil o ones o shehit'u po'alim, and it occurred that either he became, where the first one? He became an avel, he found out one of his relatives passed away, o ones, or something happened that prevented him from being able to finish the process, o shehit'u po'alim, or that his workers were supposed to show up and they didn't show for him to finish the process. What happened here before I continue is that in the process of making olive oil, a person first gathers his olives, he puts them in a thing called a mi'atan, which is a kind of certain container that allows them to kind of ripen or sit in there for a little bit. And then he, during that process, he's constantly turning over and flipping them. That gets the olives to a point where it increases the amount of oil that they're going to produce. And then after that, he puts it into what they call a korot betabad. They put it onto a threshing stone, where the stone or the beam of wood, the heavy beam of wood, sits there and rests upon it, slowly taking out the olive oil. Anybody's been to Israel, or sometimes you visit some of these places, right? You've been to it and seen it. So the person, what happened is this person started the process of making the olive oil. Hafach et zetav. So he's got the olives in the mi'atan, in this container, and he's being mehapech. And now if he stops in the middle of the process, the olives will go bad. If he just stops doing the process of making olive oil, the olives are gonna rot. But now he has a problem. Id o evil. He found out one of his relatives passed away, so now he's an avil. He's limited in the amount of work he could do. O ones, or some other kind of thing out of his control happened where he couldn't finish it. O shehit u po'alim, or his workers didn't show up, and because of that, he delayed the process, and now it's Chol HaMoed. Now the next time he's able to do it is Chol HaMoed. So he had to take a short delay, and now it's Chol HaMoed, and if he doesn't continue the process, he's going to lose out. There's going to be a Davar HaAved.
So he wasn't lazy or procrastinating.
Correct. That's important. That's the key. Right. That's the key thing. If he just sat back and said, I don't want to do it, and he waited till the holiday, we're going to see that the rabbis are going to be strict on him.
Like
there was something else that caused it. What?
Like fixing the lock.
Exactly. Like similar to what we saw in the previous Mishnah, where he's purposely waiting to do his action on Chol HaMoed. That the rabbis are not going to allow. But if something caused him to have to wait, and now it's Chol HaMoed, say the rabbis, now the question is, how much is he allowed to do? So the first opinion is Rabbi Yehuda says, Ta'en korah rishona, he puts the first heavy beam onto the olives, umaniha le'ahar ha-mo'ed, and then he leaves it until after the mo'ed, until after the holiday. In other words, he does the minimum that he's allowed to do to avoid the financial loss, and then the rest he does after the holiday is over. That's according to Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yoseh is more lenient. Rabbi Yoseh says, once we're allowing him to start the process that we wouldn't ordinarily allow him to do, but we're allowing him to start it for the sake of the Davar HaAved, we allow him to finish the whole process on Chol HaMoed. He doesn't have to wait until the Moed. He says, Zolef, he could pour them out, Ve'gomer, he could finish the whole process, Ve'gaf Gedarko, and he can go ahead and press them and get the olives oil and do all of the necessary things to the point where he even jars them up. He's allowed to finish the entire process on Chol HaMoed, since we're allowing him to start because of the significant loss. Once you start, we're telling him you're not going to have to wait now. Just finish the whole thing. You can go ahead and do it. The rabbis were lenient over here. The act is melacha. He's doing melacha over here on Chol HaMoed. That's going to distract him from the holiday. But since it's necessary and the rabbis gave him the license, they let him go as far as he needs to go and finish the whole process.
So we're saying that, get the olives for a second. We're saying that we can do the bare minimum on Chol HaMoed if there's an issue that we might lose a lot of.
That's the mahloket. That's the mahloket. One opinion to Yehuda is saying you got to do minimum of what you need just to not have the financial loss. And if Yehuda is saying once you can do that, you can do whatever you want.
What if you're in an intricate business deal, right? That spilled over into Chol HaMoed, you didn't intend it to.
Okay.
Right? It's an intricate deal. And it's really not a bare minimum situation. I mean, you got to sit there and you got to study and you got to know your numbers. You can be talking on the phone, and I mean, it's not a bare minimum.
What do you mean it's not a bare minimum?
In other words, you have to put in 20 hours to do this deal.
But that's what's necessary. But that's
required.
What's necessary. Yeah.
Call them away.
Right. So when I say bare minimum, I mean exactly what is required for him to do.
But now we have a problem.
Why?
Our problem is because somebody passed away. You can't put in 20 hours.
No, the passed away thing was the reason why. The reason why he didn't do it before the holiday, and he got to the holiday before he did it. That's why. So now that he's at the holiday, we're saying he can go ahead and do it. The halakha here follows the B.O.S.A. We're on the lenient
work. Some technically can work all throughout Chol HaMoed.
If it's going to be a significant
law. Big deal.
Yes, you know? Absolutely.
But not a tradesman, we said. We said not somebody who does a tailor
or someone who does that kind of trade work, unless we said he's a poor person and he needs to do it for the thing.
It's more about melacha.
Right, there you're not doing as much melacha. There you're not doing an act like sewing or something like that. Right. Here you're doing an act of pressing. These are
manual
what we call
labor.
Manual labors. It's different than going and selling and buying things.
But it's more about manual labor. Like if I was building something,
he's allowed to do the melacha.
So he's allowed to do the melacha, exactly.
But let's say a tailor.
We said that the tailor situation, we said he's allowed to do certain things that are necessary for the holiday, but not in the professional manner that they're normally done. He has to do like a shinui or something like that. Different. This is what makes this makes Chol HaMoed and these halachot very, very complicated, because different things are looked at differently by the rabbis. Everything here is in the jurisdiction of the hachamim, and some things they felt were more intensive, some things they felt were less intensive, some things were more professional, some things were less.
You're not going after the result, you're going after tircha.
Yes, the labor that it requires to do it, yeah.
But it's so weird, because at the end of the day, I thought it's always about, right? At the end of the day, you got to get to the result.
You're thinking about Shabbat, though.
That's what I'm saying.
And so that's not the model that we're using here.
So you're not using that, using somewhat of that
framework.
That's
what
he was
correct, that's what he was bringing up the other day. We're using a lot of the concepts and the ideas, but on Chol HaMoed, what we're worried about is that a person is going to distract himself from enjoying the holiday. And that's in the process of the exertion and the labor. Exactly. So just keeping in mind now, because this is going to take us into the next Mishnah, where we have Rabbi Yehuda telling us you can only do the minimum to avoid the loss and no more than that. Rabbi Yose telling us once we're allowing you to do the minimum to avoid the loss, we're going to tell you you can do as much as you need to finish the process.
You're talking about distractions. You're not allowed to be distracted on Chol HaMoed?
Correct.
What are you supposed to be doing a Chol HaMoed?
Learning.
To me, it's a free day.
He's supposed to be learning Torah. He's supposed to be getting close to Hashem. That's what he's supposed to be doing.
Free day. Play golf. This, that. I mean, I don't know.
Alright, so that's what we're trying to move off of that. There's definitely some elements of a person can enjoy himself and have meals and be with his family and things like that. But it's a day that is meant to be driven towards closer spirituality. It's part of the holiday. Part of the 7 days.
You went to shul in the morning, you prayed, you went,
and then it's free.
You went bananas, you had a great breakfast.
Do what you
want.
There's an element of that. There's an element of that.
Barbecued.
I remember saying over here, it's funny, the rabbis make a statement that they said, what happened? Because they outlawed labor and work, so what was the point of outlawing labor and works? That people would study Torah. That people would do mitzvot. That they would concentrate on spirituality. What happened? People spend their whole Chol HaMoed going to the zoo. Now that's not a wrong thing.
Right.
So what did the rabbi say? So what does the Rabbi Yochanan say?
The gator thing in Florida.
I've done it.
Passover.
What does the Rabbi Yochanan say? Great adventure. The teaming. Forget about it. What does the Rabbi Yochanan say? He says, had I been there when the rabbis forbade work, I would have told them to let them work so that they don't, because what ended up happening, they forbade work and people just found other things to do to waste their time. Right? So I would have rather them work than do the other things. Because the goal was, study of Torah and performance of mitzvot. That was the goal. That's what they wanted. They wanted everybody to be
struck out.
They wanted everybody to adopt the kollel for the week, right? That's what they wanted. They wanted kollel students for the week. Didn't happen exactly that way. But nevertheless, the laws stay in place that we don't want a person moving his attention off of kiddushah and spirituality onto his labors and what he has to do. The next Mishnah is almost identical to this one, just this one is with wine instead of olive oil. V'chen, so too, misha haya yeno betocha bor. Somebody who pressed his grapes, and the wine is now into the bor, into like a pit area, and it's from there that he's going to take it out and ferment it and age it. The problem is if the wine stays in the pit, it will go bad. It will become vinegar, right? He has to transfer it into barrels, into other areas. So now the question is, he has the wine in the bor, and now it o evil, same thing, he lost the disease, o ones, o sheit upalim, something caused him to have to delay, and now it's chala mo'ed, and he needs to remove this, otherwise he's going to lose the wine. Similar argument, zolef v'gomer v'gaf kedarko, the person is allowed to take it out and put it into barrels and do everything that he needs to do according to the biyose, divrei the biyose. The biyuda omer, the biyuda again says all you are allowed to do is the minimum to preserve what you need so you don't have a loss. So what does the biyuda say? Oselo limudim, take boards of wood and board up the pit so that everything stays compacted and then
instead of pouring them into the cask.
Exactly, instead of pouring them into the cask and taking everything out and bottling it.
More work.
What?
Taking the boards and doing it.
No, I don't think that's as much work as taking all the wine out and putting it into the cask and sealing them up. Okay. That takes much more. Here, all he does is take a few boards, lay them on top of the board, and that's the end of it, right? He's finished. So according to the Biyuda, he's restricting you to just enough so that ubishvil shelo yahmit, so that the wine does not go bad and become vinegar. So again, same exact argument that we've seen between the Biyose and the Biyuda regarding how much we're going to allow a person to do when there's a significant loss. In both of these cases, we rule like the Biyose. We're on the lenient side. That once a person is allowed to act for the purposes and starts for the purposes of the significant loss, we allow him to go as far as he can. So you started the business deal to get yourself off. Now if you cut it midway, we say you can go to the end of the end of what you need. We'll do one more Mishnah, potentially two. We'll see. This is a short pedic. Mishnah Gimel continues on things that a person can do to avoid a significant loss. Machnis Adam Perotav Mipene HaGanavim. A person is allowed to go up on his roof and to bring down or into his garden or orchard or whatever he has and bring in or collect his fruits so that thieves don't come and take what it is, right? If he leaves, sometimes he used to like dry fruit on the roof or leave things out in the garden or whatnot, and potentially that people could come in and steal. And so if a person wants to bring things in because he wants to avoid theft, that's permissible because again, he's trying to avoid a financial loss. V'shole pishtano min ha-mishra. He's allowed to remove his flax from the water. They used to take flax seeds, put them into water, soak them in water, that would open up the flax, and then they would comb it and use that to create garments. So if a person had already started the process before the holiday of putting the flax seeds in the water, and then he got distracted and now it's Chol HaMoed, he needs to remove them from the water in order to be able that they won't go bad. Again, he's allowed to do that bishvil shelo tovid, in order that they do not become lost and he incurs a financial loss. Again, ubilvad shelo yechaven et melachto b'moed. As long as he did not intentionally cause the situation that she should be doing this melacha on Chol HaMoed. It happened to be in the course of the process that's what happened, so then he's allowed to do it. But if he purposely arranges it so that he'll have to do this on Chol HaMoed, then the rabbis don't allow him to, and the rabbis go further. V'chulan im kivnu melachtan b'moed. If the rabbis find out that a person purposely arranged it so that he would do the melacha on Chol HaMoed, yovedu. The rabbis have the power to cause that person the loss. They can destroy the person's things and cause him to not have to incur the financial loss because he violated the words of the rabbi.
So in any of these instances, is Marit Ayin a factor?
It's an excellent question. It seems like a lot of these things are occurring in his privacy. Although Marit Ayin could also sometimes be in the privacy.
These are rabbinical issues.
The question is, do we have a Marit Ayin on a Derabbanan? Sometimes we do something that sounds like a Derabbanan on a Derabbanan, a Gzela L'Gzela. But we do have Marit Ayin sometimes on Divrei Hachamim.
Marit Ayin on the construction.
But that's also. But Amira Legoy is the Rabbanan. So there you have a marit ayin a little bit on its public, right? The question, I think everybody agrees that there is a concept of marit ayin on the Rabbanan. Where they differ is, normally marit ayin is even in private. Even though marit ayin means someone seeing you, we extend it even to privacy. So there's a mahloket. If you have a marit ayin on a Rabbanan, it might only apply in public, it might not apply in private. Okay. That's where the difference. We won't extend that stringency of applying it in private on if it's a marit ayin on a Rabbanan. But these are complicated, these are tshuvot, like massive concepts that have been written about it. It doesn't seem like marit ayin comes up over here, although I would have to double check the Gemara. It seems like because it's a Rabbanan, it's happening in private, and there's a financial issue, the rabbis did not factor marit ayin into something that they would cause a person a financial loss because of the marit ayin. I think they passed on that, yeah.
After Yom Tov, I would say the first thing people do is they check their phones and check what's going on in business. They've been out of the loop for 3 or 4 days.
Okay.
You know? So now they're getting involved in work. They didn't plan on getting involved in work, right? They're getting involved in work on the holiday purposely.
On Chol HaMoed,
you mean? On Chol HaMoed.
This is all Chol HaMoed.
On Chol HaMoed, purposely, they're now getting involved in work. They didn't have to check that phone.
Purposely.
Because they didn't have something planned, yeah, right? They're finding out what's going on at work. Right. Something happened. They're going to get the news something happened.
But that's what this whole thing is for. So you should have
that would be even more. Meaning now a person has to deal with an emergency on Chol HaMoed that he didn't anticipate from before.
Right. I guess you're right.
Yeah. I mean that would be for right. sure. Yeah. Here we're talking about things where the person may have been able to anticipate it beforehand. He tried to do it beforehand and it happened. Here it's something he couldn't even foresee. It happened to him on Chol HaMoed. Now again, the question of working, and conducting business is an interesting one. It's not so simple. Many pages have been written about it because you're not doing the same labors that we're talking about. It's not physically exerting. It's more answering an email, making a phone call, a conference call. It's different. Yeah,
necessary.
Right. It's different. And what you're doing. So there are sometimes you have to make an account. You gotta make a sale. I don't know. I mean, I'm not in the business head, so I don't 100% know. But there is what to debate when you're talking about working or going to work or doing the kind of work that we're doing or showing a house, right? Someone wants to see a house on Chol HaMoed. I mean, that's something. What?
It's more problem.
Huh?
I'm not gonna sell it. I'm Chol HaMoed.
Oh, you know, because and it's Siman Beracha. So Sani is not selling it on Chol HaMoed. But the truth is, you have a thing. What do you mean? Now people are off. Right? Maybe they're not working. It's a perfect time to go around and show people homes. Maybe you're not selling it, but you want to show them.
Right, by the time he closes, it's not going to be a Chol HaMoed.
I understand, but the question is showing it, is walking around with them and showing it, is that something that he's occurring the business? You know what I mean?
Why can't you?
Can you start the process?
You're going to lose money.
Start the process.
That's starting the process, showing.
A lot of people in the community will not look at houses during the 9 days.
That's the truth is it's not so far fetched, right? We do have a concept on the 9 days. A little bit maybe what they're borrowing to give them the benefit of the doubt here is we have a concept of not building new buildings, right? A person shouldn't be building a new house. We don't move into a new house and make a Hanukkah on the 9 days. There's a concept. Someone asked me, can I purchase a home on the 9 days? He was starting it from, it happened very similar to this. He said, I started the process and then there was a delay, and now he has to finish it. And if he doesn't finish it now, there's a potential that the guy will back out. He might lose the sale. They might up the price. I don't know, all kinds of things. So then he's allowed. He wasn't mechaven to get it at that time, and he did it. And he's not going to live in it for another few months anyway. So he just wants to make the purchase. But generally, we say we avoid purchasing. We avoid going out and doing some of those things. So you could make a very strong argument that unless something was, I have a client and I could potentially lose this home. I'm about to lose the home, and this is the last chance effort that I have, and the guy I can only come here, then I might be able to show it on Chol HaMoed. That's where the asking a specific question to a hacham who knows how to analyze the different things is so important. That's why these questions are not always cut and dry and black and white.
If I came to you and I said, I'm going to close the house today, cash Chol HaMoed, right? That's it. Today, I'm closing it today, cash Chol HaMoed. What would you do?
He's closing it.
I would, first of all, before this class, I didn't even know that was a problem. I used to go to, what do you mean? But I used to go to work. I didn't tell the customer.
Now you're deliberately doing a new deal.
No. No, once you're allowing the work to go, then that's it. You're allowing the work. A person say, if my store doesn't open, I'm gonna have significant debt. Look, you look around in the Jewish world, even amongst the most religious people, stores are open. Things that businesses are running. B&H, this is leniencies that we've allowed people to do. What?
B&H closed.
They're closed. Their website is closed on Shabbat. Their website is closed on Shabbat.
Their store's closed.
Yeah, they're very that's their thing. But now
they only have religious workers.
That's why
they have religious workers. They have a lot of things. You know, I mean, that's they're operating, and that's this precedent that they've set for themselves. But now you don't have that precedent. Now you have to prevent my non-Jewish workers. You know, closing a Jew owns a business. Now you got to close. Now you're preventing your non-Jewish workers from working. Now they're worried about their salary. They don't want to take off. There are other complications. There are other complications that are things that a person needs, and all kinds of different losses in all different areas. And so that's why it became customary to pretty much allow. We say first it should try to minimize as much as he can. When he can close. Or if he doesn't have to be at work, and let the business run without him. Things like that, we try to make compromises as best as we could do.
But there are people that on Chol HaMoed, they do go to like a Kollel in Lakewood or whatever.
That's great.
Chol HaMoed, and they do that. A lot
that's
of the South American Jews are Panamanians, and that's their...
That's great.
That's what they
do. That's what the purpose is. If a person can do that and set himself up to do that, that's really what the holiday is for. I think learning these halachot, we're not going to get down to the final... You have to learn the halacha more in depth, but at least it makes us sensitive to what Chol HaMoed is about and what the rabbis were looking at and how they sort of viewed it. Actually, that's the next Mishnah. En lokhim batim. We don't purchase homes.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm out of business. Uh-oh.
Yeah, we'll start with that tomorrow. We'll start with that tomorrow.
Don't shut up tomorrow.
Better than I know. Amen.